You know, that study and show it approved is very important to the Lord's people. When we sit there and Brother Al got it right, that, you know what, bless the man that comes before us, that he deliver a message that would be of the Lord, but we have a responsibility to make sure that we take it out there and we take what they preached and we go home and we study and we make sure that it is in accordance with the Word of God. And I pray that you would do that today, that I pray that I'll deliver a message that the Lord would bless me, that it would be of His Word, and it would be in accordance with His Word. I'll tell you, I've taught that one right there, that brother right there, way he's too strict on preachers. You know, I was the strictest person on preachers up until I started preaching. And when I started preaching, then I realized, oh, I need to be a little bit nicer to those preachers, because it's not as easy as what I thought they should have it. I thought they should have it all laid out, and they would have it together, and they'd be able to stand up there and then deliver a message. And it shouldn't be that hard if they'd been studying. Well, you know, on the way over, him and I were talking, and I said, well, you know, I thought I had it all together where I wanted to go. I thought I knew I wanted to go. I felt great peace about Numbers 13 and 14, and I felt so good about it and saw a great picture in Numbers 13 and 14 of faith and what it showed and something else. And, you know, I just thought it was there. And then this last couple of days, I just have been, little things in the Bible get me, they get me. I will struggle with the little things of not letting them go until I really have had them I've been on them for days upon days. Someone will ask, you can get held up on the little things, and it can be one word. It can be a word that is as simple as, why is this word capitalized here and it's not capitalized here? Why is this letter capitalized and it's not there? And I can spend days on it until I feel like I've exhausted everything that there is about it, and there might not be an answer. And, you know, that's the way it is. But you know what? Until I've exhausted all that I could figure, and I've called as many people as I can call about it, I'm not gonna leave that letter that's not capitalized until I feel like I've done all I can to know it. And I've prayed about it as long as I can. And, you know, sometimes little things do hang me up. And when we were driving up here, he said, Daddy, it was a little stone that David slung into Goliath. And I said, you're right, it was. I said, it was a little stone. And so, you know, he was telling me it's okay to get hung up on little things sometimes, because, you know, with the Lord, the little things can be the most powerful. So that's what I pray today. I want to look at the first chapter of Second Epistle of Peter, and I'd like to get down into the latter portion of the chapter is what my main focus would like to be on today. Lord willing, that we can get there and get there, and we can look at it and what would be in accordance of His will. Peter starts out here, and he's writing this epistle to them, and you know what's wonderful is he's writing it to. If you go back to the first book, the first epistle of Peter, he's writing this. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, 5 spots. He's writing it to strangers throughout 5 different areas. So he's writing these epistles to different ones. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because it's not directed just to a specific church. It's to a bunch of different people throughout different areas. And sometimes when you look at, like if you're looking at the letter to the Corinthian letter, that's to a specific church. You know, it's going to these specific people. It's amazing, because the Corinthian church had so many things going on with them. And the first thing that was addressed in 1 Corinthians that they were addressed with, the problem they had, was division amongst them. You know, they were struggling with the resurrection, and the first thing that they're even addressed to make sure that they're working on is the division that's amongst them. That's what they're told to make sure that they, look, you need to fix this right here. You don't need to fix that you don't understand the resurrection, you don't believe in it. You need to fix that there's division amongst you. Boy, it shows you, puts it in perspective how important it is for a church to be of one accord. So we know that, you know, certain things are directed right to churches, a specific church, and we can draw off of that from that. But this is directed to a different group of people. It's spread out amongst different areas. And when he's telling them, he says, he gets down there back into the second epistle in the first chapter. He says, whereby and given unto you exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world throughout lust. He says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now you think about that. We are given a great and precious promise, right? We are given many of them. You think about the ones back here in this time, the ones in the Old Testament time, how many promises they lived under that had not yet been fulfilled. What do we live under that has not yet been fulfilled? The returning of our Lord Jesus Christ. One. Now I'll tell you, I probably would have been one that would have been struggling in the Old Testament. I would have been struggling because it would have been promises after promises after promises, and me not seeing something fulfilled. And going 400 years and not having heard from God, and I probably would have been sitting there going, wait a second now, something's got to happen. You know, something's got to happen. Now I know that they got the blessings of the Lord, they got to see things happen, but I would be sitting there, and I'm a skeptic by nature. I'm a skeptic by nature, I'm a skeptic of people. I sit there and I say, well, you know, you've said a bunch of things, but we haven't seen anything really happen from what you said. You know, they didn't just live under the promise of the Lord returning to collect His elect people and take them home one day. They lived under the promise of that. They lived under the promise of John the Baptist coming. They lived under the promise that Christ was going to come. Christ was going to die for your sins. He was going to be buried. He's going to be resurrected, and He's going to return again. All these different promises did they live under, yet they died before they got to see Him. Now these people, they live under this thing, and he's saying, you've got so many promises, and you've been blessed to see Him. And he's saying, look, add unto these, the next verses down there, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and into godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. And I'll tell you, if we tried to take all the time to go through and explain that we have such a responsibility of what we need to do to add to our faith, I can't get to where I really want to get to. But you know, people will ask Primitive Baptists, if you ever sit there and you talk in a conversation and you tell someone what you believe, and you know, I've probably said this here once before, but I never like to say what I believe. I never like to tell somebody this is what I believe. I like to say this is what the Bible teaches. You know, it's got more impact to say, you know, anybody can have a belief. Anybody can say what they believe. That's fine. That's fine. Everybody's got that right to believe something. But I'm going to tell you, this is what the Bible teaches. And you know, that's the way I like to start my sentences. Because if I can't start it with this is what the Bible teaches, then I need to reevaluate what I'm having belief in. You know, if you can say, well, you know, this is what I believe, well, good. Now show it to me. Prove it to me out of the Word of God. You know, that's how you know what you're believing is the truth. You know, every time we've come here, the last couple of times we've been here, there's been a truck at about the same time has driven from that road here, makes a left, goes down, makes a left over there. And I don't know any of the road names, so I apologize. He comes down, makes a left, goes down, makes a left. And it's about the same time we get here. And I recognize the truck. And I'm like, you know what? They are faithful. I'm assuming they're going to church because it's around the same time. It's on a Sunday. They're going the same route. And you see them. And I tell you, I was thinking about them today, that they're going in this area. They're passing the true church of the living God right here. That's that close to them. They're passing it. That they're passing the truths that are being preached, that are being taught, that they could sit there and they could know what it is. But you know what it takes? It takes the Lord to bless them. It takes the Lord to bless them to see it and to know it. And you know what? When you pray for it, I was thinking about it when they were driving by, and I said a prayer for them that the Lord would bless them, to open up their eyes, to say, you know what, maybe this isn't where we're going, what we're hearing isn't right. Maybe there's just something not there. You think about all the men that throughout the years, and a lot of times when we have bigger meetings, we'll hear these men that come from all over, and they'll tell stories, you know, that they weren't Primitive Baptist before. I wasn't Primitive Baptist. I didn't grow up Primitive Baptist. I had never heard of what Primitive Baptist was. I came from up north where they're so few and far between. You don't know what a Primitive Baptist is like you do down here. You can be down here and say, I'm Primitive Baptist, and everybody, oh yeah, yeah, my grandma and granddaddy was Primitive Baptist. They've heard of them. Well, up north, you don't hear of them very often. I've never heard of them. You know, I grew up going to Catholic school. If I had to claim anything, I would have claimed that I was Catholic. You know, that's what I would have been. Well, you hear all these preachers come in and they say, well, you know what, I didn't grow up Primitive Baptist. I wasn't Primitive Baptist. And they start getting into what they were. And they were blessed. They started to come to church with their wife, typically. You know, they started to come to church with their wife. And they started to see it. And they started to dig into it. And they started to find out, well, what is this? It's so different than everything else. And they start digging into it. And they start to see it. But it took the Lord to bless them to be able to see it. It took the Lord to bless them to know that what they were and what they were believing and thinking wasn't right. So, you know, when we sit there, it does take faith. It takes faith for them to drive and make that same route and go where they're going. You know what? I wholeheartedly, and like I say, I don't know if they're going to church. I just assume they were going to church because it's been on Sunday at the same time I've seen them. But, you know, I pray that somebody that has that much devotion, that much faith to go back each time that I've been here, that they would be blessed to have their eyes open. Because I assure you, we didn't come here today because we were that much smarter than everybody else. I assure you, we didn't come here today knowing that the truth is in what we believe, what the Bible teaches, and we're following that, is not because any of us in here are that much smarter. I can speak for you that I am not that much smarter than anyone else out there, that's why we're here today. We're here because the Lord has blessed us. That's why we're here. We're here to hear the gospel truth because He's blessed us to know where it is. And we've been blessed to know that we can go to a place that where it's taught and where it's right here. So He says to add to our faith these things right here. We have a great responsibility. When someone says, what do you believe in? And you say, well, the Bible teaches that it teaches predestination and election, and this is how salvation occurs. They say, well, you don't have to do anything. You know, everything's over. Well, you know what? In a sense, you're right. There's nothing that you have to do for eternal salvation. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can affect on it. Good or bad, you can't affect it one way or the other. We have nothing to do with it because it's out of our hands. It was taken care of before the foundation of the world was ever laid. It was done. So yes, there's nothing you can do there, but you know what? We have great responsibility. We have tremendous responsibility, and these are part of the responsibility that we have. We're to add to our faith these things right here. And you know, when you get down there, and you're going to see the last one is charity, and if you know, you've read about charity, it's the greatest above all. We have charity that we are to do and we're to show, and we need to make sure that that's what we add to our faith. We add these things right here to our faith. So we have great responsibilities of knowing what we have to do. And that was just a side note. Now hopefully, Lord willing, I'm going to get to where I'm going. So let's move on here. And it says, and these things be in you and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I tell you, he says, and if these things be in you, abound, and make you be neither barren nor unfruitful. If you have these things in you, if you add to your faith these things, you are going to be fruitful unto the Lord. You're going to bear that fruit that we talk about over there in John 15, and being in that vine, and being in the Lord. He says, but you know what? If you don't have it, you're going to have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. I'll tell you what, you might be blessed to have the knowledge and the understanding that, you know what, you were purged. You were taken care of. Your old sins were taken care of. Your sinful nature was done and taken care of for you. But you know what? There's a thing that we can have happen to us that we can pull away from the Lord, that we can stop going to church, we can stop reading our Bible, we can stop doing those things, and we can forget. And we can start to forget it. Not to have it to where we're no longer a child of God, because once saved, always saved, it's never going to be, the Lord doesn't change. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about having the salvation of knowing it. Having the salvation of understanding it. Because there is great salvation in that. There is a salvation that comes from knowing it, comes from understanding that you don't have to live under the darkness of thinking that there's people that actually, children of God, that go to bed at night not knowing if they're a child of God and worrying about it. And having to pray, Lord, please, I didn't do very good today. Please let me do better tomorrow so I can do better tomorrow so I can be saved. You know, I don't want to live like that. I thank God we don't have to live like that. You know, there's salvation in understanding that it's taken care of. That's what it's saying. He says, you can forget that you were purged from your old sins. You know, you think about the times when these pews used to be filled with people. You think about the times of the old, when you read books of these old ministers that are talking about, well, we didn't have a very big crowd today. There was only like 180 people. They will actually say that in their writings. We didn't have a big crowd today. There was only 180 people in the church service this morning. And they will talk about when they were driving to, they were riding down 40 miles to this service that, you know, they couldn't get to but by horseback. And it was on a Tuesday night and there's 300 people and they had 80 baptisms. They talk about these things like, you know, it wasn't that big. I'm telling you, I saw 6 baptisms last month and I thought it was just amazing. I saw 6 baptisms. They came forth one after another just asking for the home in the Lord's church. And it was wonderful. These people were talking about seeing 80 and it was like, you know, it was just a side note. You know, when I was reading that, it reminded me of over in Genesis when the Lord said, and He made the stars also. Just a side note, no big deal. You know, I made the stars also. That's, you know, I did all this other stuff and, oh, by the way, I made the stars. You know, they're talking about doing all this and, oh, by the way, we had 80 baptisms today. You know what? The people have fallen away. Why? Because human nature waxes worse and worse. Human nature wants to go out there and they want to have the fun stuff that appeals to the flesh. They want to have the Starbucks in the lobby. They want to be able to have the things that they think the kids want to enjoy, that they want to go down and play and do all this stuff. And, well, you got to entertain. You got to have entertainment. I'm not entertaining to listen to. I've tried to listen to a tape of me. And I'll tell you what, I didn't last very long. It didn't go very well. I was like, man, it's bad. Now I know why my son always looks the way he looks when he's sitting in there, because he's the one that has to drive me everywhere because I can't drive. And just for a side note, anybody who doesn't know me, it's because of my epilepsy. No, I did not have any troubles with the law. It's because of my epilepsy is why I can't drive. I always get that. Somebody, first thing they say is when I can't drive, they ask, did you have a DUI? No, I didn't do any of that. I can't drive because of medical things. And I saw some faces I might not have recognized. I want to clarify that when I was standing up here. So, but you know, those are what we have to do. We don't want to forget we were purged from our old sins. I'm really going to have to move along here. He says, let's move down here. He says, let's go down to like the, let's go down 13 verse. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in the tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He says, look, I'm gonna, as long as I'm in this body, I need to be making sure I keep telling you about this. You know, you might have, sometimes I used to think, man, my father-in-law, who's a preacher, it seems like he stands up there and harps over and over and over. We hear all the time the same things. You know, I'm like, this was before I joined church, before the Lord had blessed me to see it. I thought, can he please, is this the only thing he can talk about? Is this all he can do? Well, you know what? he was being blessed to see that, you know what? Not everybody in there had seen it yet. Not everybody had gotten it yet. You know what? There was times we needed to hear it over and over and over again. I'll tell you, when you become a parent, you really know it. You really understand the concept of having to say it over and over and over again. They just don't get it all the time. They don't get it the first, the second, the third, and you'd think that they'd get it by the fourth or fifth, but sometimes they don't. And you got to keep doing it. And you got to keep saying it. And you pray that one time, they're going to get it. You pray that they're going to get it. Well, you know what? That's what it is. You got to keep, he's saying, I got to keep telling you this over and over and over again. As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to keep telling you this and keep reminding you this. This is how important it is. This is how important that you don't forget this. So he says, you know what? I'm going to keep telling you. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, that you, all these things, always in remembrance. For we have not filed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Okay, so he's saying, see, for we have not filed cunning devised fables. He's saying, look, we didn't just say anything we wanted to say. We didn't just make up stories. We didn't just go off man-made, you know, man-made up stories. No, we were eyewitnesses to these things. We didn't just come off some man, off of some man, off of some man. We saw these things by our own eyes of what was done. We saw these things. We saw Lazarus rise from the dead. We saw these different things. We saw Christ come out of the grave. You think about it. You think about those two men that were walking to Emmaus after Christ had arose from the tomb. And they're walking and they're upset and their heads are hung low and they're just depressed because they thought Jesus Christ was their Savior. They thought this was all and they thought it was all for naught. They thought everything had went down. You know, they killed him. He obviously wasn't it. I don't know what's going on, what we're to do from now on. They're walking and they've gave up. They're just done. They don't have anything else in them. They're walking there and all of a sudden Christ starts to walk with them and he starts to talk to them. Now you want to talk about hearing one of the most amazing sermons, talking about how all the promises from the Old Testament, and he's explaining how they're all been fulfilled, and he's explaining to these two men that everything is taken care of, and it is all done, and you don't have anything to worry about, but your Savior liveth, and you know what? Can you imagine the sermon that you heard about that? I was talking to a preacher this morning on the way over here, and I told him, I said, you know why they run back as fast as they did to go tell everybody? I said, they went back to tell Christ liveth. I said, if I got back there, I would have been probably telling them, you know what? I heard the greatest sermon I've ever heard. You know, a lot of times I forget to tell somebody what was preached about. I'll say, oh, it was a wonderful sermon. Best sermon I ever heard is best. You know, I can't believe how well this man was blessed. And all of a sudden I didn't even tell him what it was about. I didn't even tell him, you know, what the man had preached about. I didn't do anything. I was just talking about how great the sermon was. I said, man, that's what I would have done that's how my nature is. I would have been forgetting it. I would have forgot to tell him, by the way, we just saw Christ. He was walking with us and, you know, he just preached to us and told us everything. No, that's what they got. He says, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to remind you of this. And I didn't just follow after these crazy thoughts and these sorcerers and all this stuff. You know what? I saw these things with my own eyes. That's what I saw. You know, I saw Thomas stick his finger into that hole in the side of Christ. I saw it with my own eyes. That's what it was. So he's sitting there, he said, I saw these things. Now he goes down through and he says, let me get to the right spot, I apologize, for we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now Peter's talking about it right here. He's talking about when he was at Mount Transfiguration with Christ and he saw Moses and Elijah and he saw them and he's with Christ and he hears the voice that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So he saw that with his own eyes. He's saying, you know what? He could have taken anything else that he saw all these amazing things with. But he says, look, I saw this with my own eyes. I was up there. I didn't just get to see Christ. I didn't just get to see this, but guess what? I got to hear the voice of the Lord our Father. I got to hear that too. You know what? That's what he's saying. I got to see Christ and I got to hear God the Father all at the same time. This is what I was. This is what I'm eyewitness to. This is who you're listening to. This is what you're getting to see. So he goes down, he says, and we have a more, this is what I wanted to get to the whole time. It took me a little bit. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, that the day star rise in your own hearts. Now, did you catch that? He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, there's something to be said. These people in the Old Testament, you'll find numerous times where they hear that the Lord Father speak to them, right? They see it. These people saw that the Red Sea part. They saw all these amazing things happen. Then you come into the New Testament time. Peter was he eyewitnessed at Mount Transfiguration. He sees these things. You know, there's ones that saw baptism of Christ, and they hear the voice of the Lord, God our Father, come down and speak to them. You know, they hear all these things, and he's saying, you know what? We have a more sure word of prophecy now. You know what we have? We have the Word of God. We have that, and we don't have to only get one perspective from someone. We don't just get Matthew's account. We don't just get Luke's account. We don't just get John's account. You know what we get? We get all the accounts. We get all of them right here, and we get exactly what we need. We don't get anything extra. We don't get anything. There's nothing left out. There's nothing over. We get exactly what we need for every situation that we could ever find ourselves in, and it's right here. There's no other place you have to go. It is right here. And you can tell me you need all these other books. You can try to tell me you've got to get, well, you know what, I got to get a book for this. I got to get a book for that. I got to get help with this. You know what, that's fine. But you know what, this is where you start. This is the place you start. This is the place you go to. This is what we need to go to every day. Because this is the more sure word of prophecy. And when you think about someone that was eyewitness, that was standing on a Mount Transfiguration. He was eyewitness to it. He heard the voice of God our Father himself in his own ears. And he's saying, you people have a more sure word of prophecy. You have something even better than what I had. You have something better than all the times before. We have something that is better than everyone before. We have it all put together and it is perfect. That's what we have. He says, you go down there. He says, and it's not just stop there. Here's another one of these things that we have given to us that we have great responsibility onto. He says, take heed as you also a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. You know what? That's what we have. We have a responsibility that we have the truth. We have a responsibility to walk out, not just let our light shine here in this building. We have a responsibility to, when we walk out those doors, to have that light shine out there in that world. In that dark place out there, we have that responsibility. What's he say in Matthew 5? Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we do good works. It's not so we can get a pat on the back. It's not so people can say, you know what, that's a good guy. I need to help him out next time I get a chance. No, we do it for the glory of God. That's what we do it. Why? Because everything else is nothing compared to what we know he's done for us. Nothing else compares. We can't even scratch the surface of what we owe him to do for him because of what we know he's done for us. We're talking about coming down and paying a debt for us that we could never pay. We're talking about coming down and taking care of something we could have never taken care of for ourselves. There is something to be said for doing something for someone that can never done it themselves. You know, we couldn't do it. We didn't have the possibility. There's something we might have been able, if someone comes and pays off my house today, I'm going to be thrilled to death. I'm going to be ecstatic. But you know what? I've got a plan set up to pay it off myself. Now, don't get me wrong. Any of you want to come pay off the house? I'm love you for it. I'm ecstatic about it. But you know what? We've got a plan set up to do it. So we're on that pace to pay that off. Well, you know what? So that's, we have the capability of doing that. Well, you know what? To pay the sin debt for us to be able to reside in heaven one day, we could not do it. No one could take care of the law. No one was perfect enough to do that but one man. He came, he fulfilled the law, he did it, he took care of it all, and he said, here, it's done. It's taken care of. None of you could do it. None of you could make sure that it was going to be accomplished. So I'll send my son. I'm going to come down. My son's going to pay it. He's going to take care of it for you. Now you can make it. Now you're going to be able to reside in heaven with me one day. That's what we got. He didn't just leave us with that. He said, now you've got responsibilities. Now you've got responsibilities. You need to make sure that you're that light that shineth in that dark place. You need to make sure that you sit there and you teach these young ones and have an understanding. And they say, well, Mom, Dad, it's just not that fun to go to church there. You know, it's just not that fun. I don't want to go to church today. Well, you know what? At lunchtime, ask my oldest one here how many times it worked for him to tell me that he didn't want to go to church and he wasn't going to church. It doesn't matter if you want to go to church. You know why? It's in our nature not to want to go to church. You don't give them the option until the Lord has blessed them to see it, and then all of a sudden, you know it. When the Lord has blessed us to see it, you don't want to just say, you want to go to church. You want to hear that story. I mean, we sang some songs today, hear that same old story. You know, I want to hear it. I want to hear it over and over and over again. Why? Because it's so beautiful. And it keeps in remembrance what the Lord has done for us. And what we really are and what we owe to Him. And what do we live under? We live under a more sure word of prophecy. We live under this, that we have one promise that is yet to be fulfilled, and that's the Lord coming back to take us home. That's what we got. That's what we live under. It's a wonderful thing to think that this is an eyewitness to Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is an eyewitness to someone that was standing there and heard the voice of God our Father speak. And He says, you have a more sure word. That's what we have. We weren't left with nothing. We were left with a more sure word. We need to thank God for it every day. And I would want to go further and I want to get into the next ones, but I feel like my time is done. And I thank you for your kind attention. And I pray that these thoughts were glorifying to God and edifying to you all.